The most dangerous place in the world is not having a life-threatening disease. The most dangerous place in the world is to have a life-threatening disease and not know it. And the same is true spiritually. If you don't know that you have a problem, you've got a really big one. We're going to unpack that today. Stay with me.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy, and today Chip wraps up his current series with a final look at God's amazing grace. Scripture tells us that God's grace is free and lavish. So Chip asks the puzzling question, if that's really the case, why is it so hard for people, even believers, to accept God's grace? Now, if you have a Bible, open it now to Luke chapter 15. And let's join Chip for his message, God's Generosity Refused.
A couple things we learned from this older son scenario is that very good, moral, religious people who believe the Bible can be as lost as the most immoral sinner. Let me say that again. Very good, sincere, religious people who believe intellectually the Bible can be as lost as the most immoral sinner. Jesus extends forgiveness to the elder brothers. An elder brother life can be just as miserable as the pig pen of the younger brother. You see, elder brothers feel like they're in a slave relationship. Elder brothers have, I have to do all these things. I'm responsible all the time. I don't measure up unless I do all these things for God. Elder brothers are often angry at God. Life isn't working out. I did this, you're supposed to do that. They're often very angry with themselves because no one can keep the standards. So they're down on themselves privately. They live with a lot of condemnation. I've found in the years that I've been a pastor, when I meet people with elder brother symptoms, and boy, do I get it. I mean, I've had an elder brother part of my journey that is so ugly when you see it. But I find they're often depressed because they're angry and they never measure up. And then I discovered, too, that many older brothers, if you live in this transaction relationship with God and it's all these things you have to do, since no one can do it, there's often a break that occurs. They have these private sins. You ever wonder why all the Catholic priests got involved in pedophilia? Ever wonder why all the Protestant evangelists who are ranting and raving about God and sexual purity, you find out so many of them have had these affairs, homosexual and heterosexual affairs? You ever wonder why there's such a high level of alcoholism in elite leaderships of some churches and denominations? See, if you have some sort of works and you can't keep it, there's a break. Probably would be a good time to stop and say, I wonder how we could recognize older brother tendencies. Because I will tell you, here's my concern. I think this is one of the most serious passages, serious truths we'll ever talk about. When you're a younger brother and you're lost, you know what the good news is? You know you're lost. I mean, you know you're lost. I mean, the only reason that he came back was he hit rock bottom. And if you talk to people, then any kind of 12-step program, they'll just tell you. Until you get to where you really get, I can't do this, you never get better. But when you're an older brother, you're living under the delusion that everything's okay. In fact, God owes you. The Pharisees were the most religious people. And they were farther from God because they were unaware of their need. So let me give you a few characteristics of older brothers that I have observed from Scripture and unfortunately from my own life and pastoring for about 30 years. Here's an older brother's relationship to God. And by the way, if you have any older brother tendencies, this is a time not to take notes. In other words, see, part of our personality, oh gosh, I need to get this one, I'm going to list these. You know, why don't you just put your pen down and sort of lean back and say, Holy Spirit, if there's any of this in me, I would really like to hear it. Because see, what we older brothers do is we substitute intellectual knowledge and having things organized and getting everything straight for the actual relationship with God and heart change. And so here's some characteristics of older brothers with regard to God. They often feel that the relationship with God is about duty and obligation, and especially in the areas of prayer, it's dry. It's a transaction. Praying is hard. Praying from the heart is hard. They think God owes them a good life. They live with lots of guilt because they never really measure up. I mean, you pray for a half hour. What if you're supposed to pray for 33 minutes? Then they read a book about someone who says you need to pray for an hour. Then they find that, you know, giving 10% is a good start, but you need to. And it doesn't matter. And praying and reading the Bible and being generous, all those things are good things in and of themselves when they flow out of gratitude and a love relationship. But if it's, this is how you measure up to God, the bar just keeps getting higher and higher and higher. They only feel deeply loved when they're performing well. But when they're performing well, they become more and more arrogant, more critical of other people who, you know, if everyone served like I serve in the church, if everyone gave like I gave, if everyone at work would show up the way I show up at work, and there's just sort of this attitude, and convinced that this is the attitude and I'm godly. Right living is the means of getting what you really want from God. That's what the older son said. Hey, I've never disobeyed. I did exactly what you said. Therefore, I get the estate. I should have a party. My life should work out. Or in the evangelical circles, okay, I get it. I'm going to come before God. I'm meeting with God in the morning. I'm reading my Bible. Okay, I finally got one of those small groups that Ingram keeps ranting and raving about. I'm in a small group. I'm even trying to be a little bit more honest. Not only that, I went on a missions trip. I'm giving 10% of my income, and I'm going to add 1% each year until Jesus comes because I heard someone did that. What else am I supposed to do? Oh, yeah, integrity at work. And by the way, okay, I did this. God, you owe me an amazing marriage. Upward mobility. Kids that all turn out right, and the esteem of others. And when those things don't happen, elder brothers get really mad at God because they really weren't in a relationship trusting God for God. Jesus had simply become like a cosmic vending machine. Quiet time, B7. Prayer, A4. Missions trips, Z99. Click, 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 click. God owes me this. Completely misses the heart of a father and a child in a love relationship. With regard to relationships, they feel superior, critical, prejudiced, and judgmental. They're legalistic. They focus on, you didn't do this, you didn't. They focus on the letter of the law instead of the spirit of the law, and yet the scripture says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. There's joy. Elder brothers are joyless people, often miserable people. They're critical of others. They're critical of themselves. They keep it all bottled up. The word grace is charis in Greek. The root of it is charis, for joy. Charismata is gift. Grace is about producing joy, and it's about generosity. It's about giving. It's about loving. Elder brothers are the kind of people when they're going through a financial class, here's their question. Are you supposed to tithe on the gross or the net? No, you think I'm kidding? Why would you ask that question? How can I be right with God and give as little as possible? How can I be right with God and have people think I'm as loving as possible? How can I have a private life where it's really about me and what I want and my agenda, but appear in my image management as loving and caring and spiritual and committed as possible? And we all have some of that older brother in us, don't we? And so in our relationships with others, we champion justice and rarely mercy. We repel irreligious people. And often our just doctrine and truth is important, but can practice it in very unloving ways. That's how you know if you're an older brother. Any other older brothers in the room? I see those hands. Yes, I'll pray for you too. Well, what is Jesus saying to us elder brother types? You ready for this? What's he communicating to these Pharisees then and now? He is the Father pleading, my son. Not just come home, come close. I want your heart. Let's talk. Get honest. Quit performing. It's not about works righteousness. It's about personal, deep relationship. You know, by the way, the activities can look exactly the same. Remember Jesus' story about the two houses? One built on the rock, one built on the sand. The one built on the rock is the person who takes in God's word and applies it, and it's in relationship. And the one built on the sand is the people who hears it all, but then when adversity comes. Now, I'm gonna be honest with you. There's times in my life I was such an elder brother. Okay, five Psalms, one Proverb, Old Testament, New Testament. Got it. Prayer, 32 minutes. Here's the list, every name. Man, I'm getting really tired. Bless Jane, bless so-and-so, bless so-and-so, help so-and-so, help so-and-so. Man, got 7 minutes left. You think I'm kidding? I did this. I went for years. I never missed a day. I never missed a day. And I was arrogant about never missing a day. I would always ask people how many verses they're memorizing because I knew I had them beat. I'm serious. I memorized whole books of the Bible. Haven't you? And I became a loathing jerk who had received God's love freely, created a bar and standard, and it just swallowed up my joy. Literally, this is an interesting application for a Christian. One of my applications was to stop memorizing Scripture for a significant season, because it was so locked into my performance. But I will tell you that if I'm not in God's word, I'll never grow. My mind won't be renewed. But the difference between I read my chapters, check, versus Father, I know you love me. And I know you love me when I'm good. I know you love me when I'm down. I know you love me every day. I really need to hear from you today. And I want to meet with you. And then when you speak to me, it's going to be hard. You know I'm going to struggle, but I want to take whatever steps you show me. And it's a father and a son or a father and a daughter. That's what Jesus was saying. He actually was offering to these Pharisees, and if you read the context, they've already decided how to kill him. This is the grace of God. These are the people that, you know, okay, we're going to take him out, and this is how. And he's offering them forgiveness. My sons, come in. Just lest you think this is something that happens and then we all grow out of this. I had an interesting experience yesterday morning. And this message, some messages come together really pretty quickly and some just are like, I don't know anything about giving birth, but if there's a breech birth, cesarean section, whatever, however you women know about it, giving this message is like, oh God, you know, I can't get it. And so I went out to a little coffee shop different than I normally go to and found a little corner, and I was just poring over, how do I do this, how to do this, and I've studied all this stuff, and a guy came in, and two cute little girls, like maybe three and four, and you know, it was pretty obvious within a few minutes that this is a single dad with a couple kids, probably divorced. I noticed he didn't have a ring. They were daddy hungry, daddy, 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 you know, and you could tell they had missed him, and, you know, he kind of had his phone over here and trying to be a good dad and checking on the phone and, you know, girls, and I sat there, you know, it wasn't like eavesdropping, but I mean, they were like one booth over, and I'm studying all this stuff about grace, and here's the thoughts that went through my mind, the initial thoughts. Man, how come people can't stay married anymore? I mean, what's the deal? You're a man. Step up. Work at it. You know, what's the problem? Wonder, you know what? There's so many people getting, you know, just so, I mean, I literally, this is what's going on inside of me. And you know, man, you know, get, shove that phone and pay attention to your daughters.
That's all I study about grace.
I'm dead serious, you know? And then, and literally, I've got like, you know, 30 seconds of my judgmental, critical, pharisaical, get with the pro. I don't even know the guy. I've never seen him in my life. And I'm making up stories about his life and judging the stories that I've made up. Is that sick or what? But the only reason you're laughing is what, Ron Weasley? You do that too. And I get about 30 seconds into it, and the Spirit of God goes, Chip, what if his wife died of cancer? And here he is, a single dad, loving these two little girls. And those phone calls are demands on his life of trying to figure out how to make his life work and love his kids. Or how about this, Chip? How about it's not what you think at all? What if his wife had an affair and left him and they have split custody and this is his only time with him? Scenario number one, what's wrong with these people? Pharisee. Scenario number two, everything in me. Hey man, do you need some help? Can I buy the donuts for your girls? You know, we got a group that, I just wanted to help him. Do you see the difference? One of the ways that you know you're an older brother is when your mind and your words and your heart are critical of others, and when you have no non-Christian friends. When you see people the way Jesus sees people, you will have people in your life that you love who are far from God, and they won't be repelled by you because you won't come off as religious. People really, really matter to God. And it's so easy to form these little clubs and cliques, and I come to church and read my Bible and it's us four no more and I want my life to work. We're elder brothers. You know, it's like the quotes that I read. Do we want church to be like what a billboard does for Coca-Cola? Creates thirst, but it doesn't quench it. Thirst gets quenched when authentic reality and life and love of the living God flowing through your veins and your heart and mine out to people that are different than you and different than me. And they can understand why you would care. And the only reason you care is because God cares about you. Does that make sense? It's the gospel. That's why it was so contagious. And that's why religion is so dangerous. And see, it's the grace of God, for some of you that are getting a little nervous, it's the grace of God that teaches us to say no to all ungodliness and to live reverent lives that are generous. Well, the question at the bottom then is, how did the elder brother respond to the father's invitation to come home? Anybody have the answer to that one? How did he respond? Answers we don't know. This is very purposeful. This is a cliffhanger. This is, you know, like one of those great ones, you know, so you're watching this, you know, maybe it's one of the serial television programs, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, the music, and then you go, to be continued, right? And you go, yuck. That's what Jesus does. Because he's given an invitation. We don't know how those Pharisees will respond. We have a pretty good idea what happened to one, Joseph of Arimathea. As you read through the Gospels, he was a Pharisee who didn't side with the council. He was afraid to go public for fear of what other people think. But when it all cleared and the smoke cleared and what's life and what's reality, he went and got Jesus' body and put it in a private tomb. And I think Nicodemus was yet another. See, appearances and impressing people are like the number one thing with elder brother Pharisees. I wonder what would happen if we just quit trying to be so cool and people just knew you were a follower of Jesus and that you were generous and let them think what they think, because they think something now anyway. And we might ask ourselves, why is it so important what anybody thinks anyway? Jesus would say in the Gospel of John, it's impossible to believe when you seek the favor of God, favor of man instead of the favor of God. When our agenda is to please people, it makes it impossible to trust God. That which is highly esteemed in the eyes of man is detestable in the sight of God. As you turn to the back page, what keeps younger and older brothers from responding to God's grace? What keeps younger and older brothers from responding to God's grace? In a word, are you ready? It's the root of every sin, according to C.S. Lewis, and I think he's right. It's pride. The younger brother is lost in his badness, and he's, I'm unworthy, I'm unworthy, I can't, I don't deserve it, I. Focuses on whom? He's lost in his badness, his pride. The Pharisees I've never disobeyed you. I always do what's right. He's lost in his goodness, and they were equally lost. Humility for this one is to go public and admit, I was wrong. Humility for this one is, I know I'm wrong. I don't deserve. I will receive. If you had to check a box, older brother or younger brother, which are your tendencies? What are your tendencies? If you've been a Christian a really long time and you came from like a younger brother past, been a Christian more than 5 or 10 years, often you go from younger brother to really committed Christian to older brother. What do you think God's saying to you? Are you experiencing his joy? Do you feel like you're his child? You know what God's saying to younger and older brothers? I'm not down on you. I love you. I want to help you. But grace flows downhill. God is opposed to the proud. If appearances matter, if what everybody thinks. See, I'm always amazed. I had a conversation with a leader in our church earlier this week, and we got talking about something that sort of popped up, and I really appreciated his honesty. He said, you know, I mean, he's a leader. He's been around for a long time, been a Christian a long time. And he said, you know, I was baptized when I was a baby, but I've never done adult baptism. We got talking about it. He goes, you know, and what do you really think about all this? And I said, well, when you were a baby, did you fully understand the gospel and agree with all that? He looked at me, nah. I said, well, just, you know, read the New Testament. What do you think it says? He goes, I know what it says. I said, could I take a stab here? He said, sure. I said, it's just downright embarrassing to be at your spiritual maturity and be as old as you are and go get in a tub of water, because you're going to be thinking, wow, I thought that guy really knew the Lord. How come he's just getting baptized now? Big smile. He goes, you got me. What do you think we would call that? Pride. I have it. You have it. You know how you really experience God's grace? What's the next step for you? For some, you're a younger brother, older brother. You need to come to Christ today. You just need to ask God to forgive you of your sins and say, hey, I don't have it together, or I may be unworthy, but I'll receive it. And for others, it's saying, you know what? I need to make my sonship, my daughtership, the focus of my life. I'm going to let him be sovereign, him be Lord, and I'm going to do it out of relationship.
Chip will join us here in a minute to talk more about what you just heard. But if you missed our program introduction, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. His message today, God's Generosity Refused, is from his series called Grace, Experiencing God's Generosity. In this series, Chip explores the concept of God's amazing grace. This elusive facet of God's character is brought to life through Jesus' teaching about the prodigal son. His intention was to help us understand God's generous heart and why he's so ready to pour out his abundant grace on anyone who will receive it. This inspiring three-part series is available on CD or as an MP3 download. And for a limited time, the CDs are discounted and the MP3s are free. So now would be the perfect time to order online at livingontheedge.org or give us a call to place your order at 1-888-333-6003. Now, here's Chip.
As we close today's program, I've tried to share pretty honestly about my older brother experience, and I can't help but believe that many, many, many of you realize, you know something? You got a lot of older brother in you, and this is the kind of message and the kind of series that it gets really clear and you go, oh God, oh yes, I need to live by grace, and I'm not only saved by grace, but I have to live by grace, and it's so refreshing and it brings freedom. And here's the deal, 30 days from now, you will be right back to living the same old way, because you have to renew your mind. So could I encourage you, get the CDs or download the MP3s, get the information and renew your mind. Listen to this series 3 or 4 or 5 times. Listen to it until it gets down into your bones, down into the marrow of who you are, where you really get, I love you. Not because you've done something, not if you do something,
I love you because I have done something. I sent my son in your place. I've paid for your sin. I've deposited my Holy Spirit in you. I've adopted you as my child. You have an inheritance. I've given you spiritual gifts. You have a purpose for your life. Now, let's do it together. That's the Christian life. Now go live it.
Thanks, Chip. Well, you're right. We can't fully absorb this kind of life change by hearing it only once. We need to be intentional about renewing our mind. Getting this on CD, or subscribing to the podcast, or downloading the Chip Ingram app are all ways to hear these messages again and again. For just 2 more days, the CDs are discounted, and the MP3s are free. So make good on your intentions and take advantage of these resources today. You can download the Chip Ingram app, order online at livingontheedge.org, or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. You know, a great way to stay engaged and connected to Chip and Living on the Edge is with the Chip Ingram app. You'll be getting all of these grace messages, Chip's free message notes, and much more. Not only that, but it couldn't be easier to order resources or give us a call right from the app. To download the Chip Ingram app, just go to Google Play or the App Store. Well, tomorrow on Living on the Edge, Chip begins a new series called Doing Good, What Happens When Christians Live Like Christians. So be sure to be with us again for that. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge.